Welcome to Firefall Talk Radio. This is The Porch. Broadcasting live in the Firefall studio. The only place you hear us live is on Spreaker.com. You can catch us archived here, as well as the old Blog Talk Radio site, iTunes, and iHeartRadio as well. The Porch Online Bible Study is here to take a deeper look how the Book of Acts Church served the Lord, find their example, and replicate it, and shake the world one last time before the return of the King. Church age is still in effect. It's not over. The day of Pentecost is ongoing. The fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to solomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, use the site, the contact button. If you'd like to support what we do, go to firefalltalkradio.com, and there are ways to do that. Make sure you bookmark us here on Spreaker, and use the main address of spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. We appreciate your support and your encouragement. Continue to pray, folks, for the victims of the recent earthquakes and volcano. The people in Indonesia are still suffering, and Hurricane Michael hit the Florida Panhandle as a high category 4, almost a cat 5. So pray for North Florida. Pray for Apalachicola and Mexico Beach, which took it head on. The area is devastated. I've seen some videos. Pray for the families, the people that have lost their homes, some of them long-term family, childhood homes. Pray for the animals and the pets and everybody else. Keep them in your prayers. Do not forget about them. I praise the Lord that his blessings are still good, his promises are yea and amen. So for that, I praise him for my home, for my salvation, of course, for my lovely wife, for our family, our furry kids, our possessions. I praise him for our grandson, JJ, and his protection over us, for this ministry that he lets me work, and for the dreams and the visions which have been very active of late. Praise him that his healing virtues are still available to us. I just praise him for being able to praise him even in the midst of the storm. We can praise him. We cannot let the enemy steal our joy. I praise him for being a new creation and for being in America. As bad as things can be, it's still better than any place else. And, of course, I praise him for the sign that he's getting ready to return. Keep your prayers up also for the Middle East, Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem, which means the return of the Prince of Peace, for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. Our brothers and sisters around the world are being slaughtered every day for their faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. Have an unspoken prayer request for our family. Keep us in mind and in prayer all next week. For divine wholeness, health, and continued healing in my right knee. It's much better, but it's not there yet. Well, it's right there. I can see it. I just touched it. My knee is there, but it's not operating completely the way it should be. I just pray for healing in us, for me, my wife, our family, all of you. Let's get back to our divine design. Let's get serious in our prayers for each other and for ourselves, and get past the enemy's attacks, physical, sickness, financial, emotional, all the areas that he attacks us. I pray for protection for all of us, of course, especially the Porch and Firefall and SRT and my team, for the remnant to wake up, rise up, answer the call. And if you can bless, be a blessing. We need some help to get out there and do what we need to do. Nick in Dallas, he's following up his prayer request for last week. Excuse me, he has a praise report. Said, I have finished my official physical therapy appointments and back to near normal. Associated to the praise report is a prayer request for continued dedication to the work routine that the doctors laid out to continue strengthening his shoulder. Stacy in Texas. Texas. Hey, Stacy. I'm thankful for my family, for her kids, and like-minded believers in my life. She's praying for the protection of those in the path of Hurricane Michael. She mentions Kim and Larry, a fellow member of SRT, who, by the way, was just on the outside of the western wall of the storm, and he doesn't have power, but came through great, and God was good and answered prayer. May God be your protection in the eye of the storm. She says, I have an unspoken prayer request for my marriage, my mom, and my family. May God be with those hurting and those who are persecuted. Continue to pray that their home in Alabama would sell and for them to find a home there in Texas. She says, Father, please continue to help me fight my battles and grow brighter and stronger for you in Jesus' name. She also had an addendum. She said, you asked for prayer to find a way to get everyone together. I'm praying that a way will be found. I would love for this to happen. I would too, but Stacy, you're the only one that even bothered to mention affirmatively that you'd like that, but I'm going to look into it anyway and see what the Lord wants to do. Kim in Fort Mitchell said, starting to feel the hurricane. It's raining. The wind has picked up. Says, I praise him in this storm and the ones to come. I praise him for my life and my freedom. I praise him for my children and everything he provides for us. I praise him for not giving up on me. Her word, she says, I'm a piece of work sometimes. She says, I praise him for this ministry, and I love the idea of meeting up. I'm sorry, Kim, I didn't read yours, so that's true. Meeting up and sponsoring each other. I would love to meet you guys in person. Pray and praise him together. Please pray for everyone affected by the storm. She's claiming divine protection over our families and possessions in Yeshua's name. She's asking for favor. She's applied for a scholarship and for Abba Father to grant this blessing, to deliver her children, save her husband's and mother's soul, to protect us and save us through the Halloween madness, which is gearing up pretty good. We've got 2 weeks left. Prayers for my friend Stacy and her baby. Her classes start on Monday. Take over this anxiety and fill me with you. And the storm, the animals being safe, and hear our prayers in Yeshua's name. Folks, you know, I do this every week, and I've continued to do it. And I get responses from you that you listen and you pray. We're coming into a time when those who worship him in spirit and truth must all begin to pray the same way for one another. So, Father, I start out before you by praying that your sons and your daughters would get a fervent desire for prayer, to get closer to you, to allow the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life to change them and to use them. You know, the world uses us. People use us. The system uses us. And we are feeling pretty used. But I want the Holy Spirit to use us. I want to shake this world. I want to set the captives free. And I'm praying that you would instill that in us. Father, we love you and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for being able to boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy. Holy Spirit, we thank you for teaching us and helping us and reminding us of what Yeshua said. And we thank you, Lord, for coming, for living amongst us, for showing us the way to live, and then showing us how you died for us. But you are alive. You rose. You sit at the right hand of the Father. And we sit with you in the heavenly places, so we love you. We praise you, taking our thoughts captive. We release all the cares of the world up to you right now. And we say, have your way with us tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except we're noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So if you remember, and if you don't, you can go back and listen to it. Last week we were talking about the concept that is promoted in teachings and in music and other things that praise and prayer and worship and all those things can manifest an external anointing of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, it pretty much seems to have an Old Testament perspective that we're constantly asking for the Spirit to fill us, for the Spirit to fall, for the fire to fall, for the, you know, the Spirit to move. I don't know where he's moving to because he's in me and I don't want him to move. I don't need to look at it that way. Matter of fact, I called up Pastor Shelley today, who, by the way, was in Tallahassee for the weekend, did not make it out, so he's there in the midst of the power outages and other things, so keep him in your prayers. We spoke for a while, and I shared with him what I was teaching, and he began to get excited, and we began to talk and share scripture and go back and forth, and he got really in tune with what I was trying to say. Messiah in me is the hope of glory. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead is inside of me. I don't have to go looking for it. I don't have to pray it up, conjure it up, stoke it up. It's there. It's a matter of us releasing it. We need to be permanent walking conduits of power, explosive dunamis power, nuclear reactors, capacitors, which is what's in every electronic device that holds the charge so that you can turn the device on. We need to be on. And that was the core of the Lord's ministry to all believers, that the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit would work with them through this church age. And although there were people in the Old Testament that experienced the indwelling a little bit more permanently than others, pretty much it was the Lord used them, Spirit retreated. But there's one area that I've been led to, and you're going to have to bear with me as I read it. It's somewhat longer than I normally use, but I want to set it up. I want you to get an understanding of the foreshadowing of Pentecost and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, even in the Old Testament. So open your Bibles or apps or however you follow along to Numbers 11, and we'll start with verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. The people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned amongst them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic, but now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Now the manna was like coriander seed and its color like that of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, beat it in mortars, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And it tasted like the pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. And Moses was also displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you've laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I begat them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers'?" It just seems like they're a bunch of whiners. I'm sorry. "Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to bear all these people alone. The burden has become too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness." So the Lord said to Moses, this is where we're getting into the part, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put the same upon them. And they shall share the burden of people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you say to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat it not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. And then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. Two of the 70 did not go to the tabernacle. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. They were among the ones who were listed, but they had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. Get the picture here. Everybody that did what they were told went to the tabernacle. Spirit fell on them. They prophesied. Eldad and Medad didn't go for whatever reason. Nobody knows why. And the spirit still fell on them. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. And Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. So many things going on there, but I want to stick to the topic at hand. Because as I read that, the people's lack of faith and appreciation for God's provision inspired a revelation about the Holy Spirit. Now look what he said. You're going to eat meat. Oh, you want meat? I'm going to give you meat. Not enough for 1 day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days or 20 days. You're going to get enough meat for 30 straight days until it comes out of your nostrils and you hate it, because you despised the Lord and said, why did we ever come out of Egypt? So he sent them quail in what became probably the largest quail hunt in history. He redirected the migratory flight of the quail toward his people with the strong wind, and flying about 3 feet off of the ground, 2 cubits off the ground, the people could just reach out and grab them for 2 days and one night. Enough to feed all of the families there. We're talking millions upon millions of birds. First of all, it's pretty amazing that even though they griped, even though they murmured, even though they did everything they did, he still answered their prayer. Be careful what you pray for. Make sure what you're praying for is in his will. Make sure it's Isaac, the perfect will, and not Ishmael, the permissive will, or you might get more quail than you can eat. So as I was reading that, 70 elders, 70 disciples, something similar about the upper room going on there. Spirit upon them. But what I liked is that when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. They began to speak or sing in under inspired, ecstatic utterances, glossolalia, tongues, whatever you want to call it. They began to do it. Of course, it was the only time they did it because it wasn't a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But if he says he's going to put his Spirit upon you, he's going to put his Spirit upon you. Now, where do we see an example of that? Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was the main core of Paul's teaching. It was the main thing that drove the church, the concept that the Holy Spirit was no longer external, but internal. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 and 2. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Further down in verse 39 and 40, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. So we don't know why Eldad and Medad were not there. But it didn't matter, did it? They had been appointed to receive it, and they did. Just as kind of an FYI, the name Eldad means God loved. Medad means beloved. If you are loved and beloved by God, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And you may not even have to be in the right place at the right time. Now, I don't know why Joshua was upset. Maybe he was afraid that they would influence others, detract from the authority of Moses. And by the way, this is the first time that Joshua is even mentioned. His loyalty to Moses and Moses' leadership and authority was very zealous and probably somewhat immature. Because men care about status. Now, I read an article today, if you call it that, on a rabbinical website. And he talked about this particular section of Torah. And I liked what he had to say. And I wish I'd copied down his name. I'm sorry. But he and I are on the same wavelength about certain things. He would probably not agree with me about Messiah. But he said, religions by nature seek to define, categorize, and systemize the final truths about the divine and its manifestation in the world. But can any group or individual really capture such matters definitively? Or is each individual and group given only a very partial, imperfect glimpse of a reality that is far too broad and complex for a single mind or group of minds to fathom? Eldad and Medad were not where they were supposed to be. Maybe they were busy, maybe they overslept. Maybe they just didn't want to go. Maybe they didn't want to be a part of Moses' chosen leader. I don't know. But it didn't matter. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, will do what he's been ordained to do. The other thing he said that I found very interesting is that rabbis, rabbinical teaching, insist that no two authentic prophets prophesy in the same way. Spiritual uniformity and conformity amongst those speaking for the Spirit is a clear sign of their lack of authenticity. Let me say that again, and for all of you that go to events and go to schools of the prophets and all the other stuff, and they all want you to do the same thing at the same time in the same way, this rabbi would see that and say it's not authentic. And he uses the example in 1 Kings 22 when the 400 false prophets say the same thing to appease Ahab by Micael, prophesied defeat, and it came about to be. We're individuals. God's going to use us individually. And how he uses us will be radically unique and different from the person next to us. There's no pride. There's no eliteness. You don't belong to any special club. There's no secret Dakota ring or secret handshakes. However you are is how he uses you. And I like what D.L. Moody said. If we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and self-seeking and pleasure in the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. And I believe many a man is praying to God to fill him when he's full already with something else. God chose Moses because Moses was humble. It says it, Numbers 12:3. No, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So he wasn't threatened by Eldad Medad's prophecy. Matter of fact, he wished everyone did it. He didn't care about sharing the spotlight. His leadership qualities and self-confidence was greater than that. He wanted everybody to be Spirit-empowered. Folks, that's the way to be. We all need to be in this. We all need to be fully empowered. We're all going to be a little bit different. God's going to use us as he designed us. There are no superstars. There is no special billing. And it offends me and grieves my spirit when I see how much of that is in the church. But when you look at the account of Moses and the 70 elders and the Spirit of the Lord, you see that throughout the ages, he has been using his spirit to benefit his children. He never left his children unprepared or lacking. So the problem is in him. It's us. Shelley talked about that. Why do we have no signs and wonders, or very little? Why do we have so few people that move in the gifts and change lives and do what they need to do? Why do we live in such a muted, stilted religious experience? I believe it's because the enemy has tricked us into doing that. The presence, the indwelling, and the unique awareness of his Holy Spirit inside of us is what makes us different from every other religion out there, beside the fact that our Messiah died for us. If you are called to serve him, he will empower you, and he will do it as he chooses to do it. But he will provide renewal and strength. I mean, I am sure that in the midst of Hurricane Michael, there are people that are devastated. And I am sure that there are people that in their devastation know that their God is a refuge and a strength and a very present help in trouble. That's Psalm 46:1. David seems to get this because three scriptures in a row, or David, Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help come? From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun now shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. How is he going to do that? Is he going to do that sitting up in heaven and dispatching angels and putting you on a list? I believe he does it instantaneously through the presence of his Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory. Look at Psalm 143, starting verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. That word revive, and listen, some of you need to be revived. You need some spiritual supernatural paddles on your chest to get that heart beating again. That word revive means to quicken, to keep, to make alive, to recover, to repair, to live, to bring to life or to cause to live. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Children of Israel had manna, supernatural food. That word manna means, what is it? I think it's kind of cool that he named it in a way that they're asking a question every time they eat it. What is it? It's God's blessing. What is it? Supernatural food that comes from heaven. What is it? It's sustaining us in the wilderness. They didn't get that. They didn't care about that. Manna represents, to me, the word of God, essential to life and well-being, even better than food. Manna in the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness, not the literal one. I haven't been there yet. I've been in spiritual wilderness, even being saved as of yesterday, 30 years. I got born again. I should have that as a praise report. It just hit me when I thought about it. 30 years ago yesterday, I knelt at an altar and gave my life to the Lord. 30 years ago, I decided I needed a Savior. 30 years ago, he revived me. He brought me back to life. He has been my manna since then. But there have been times I've wandered off the road a little bit, and there have been times I've made decisions that were Ishmael and not Isaac. I didn't appreciate the manna. It's in our nature to not appreciate what he does. We want more. We want better. We're told by many teachers that we can have more and better when he gave it all on the cross. How much more can he do for me? Boy, that just threw everything off. Realizing I got saved. Yesterday was my anniversary. I didn't get saved yesterday. I should have thanked you for that. Father, I'm sorry. The living word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what Yeshua told Asatan, Satan, in the wilderness when he wanted him to turn the stones into bread. What else proceeds from God? What else proceeds from him? Come on, if you've been listening and you've been studying, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. It emanates from the Father. That was the promise. See, Moses knew he needed help. He needed help with the unbelieving people. He needed help with the whiners and the complainers, of which he sometimes dabbled. And what God gave him was his Spirit, the Spirit of God. I think that was a foreshadowing of Pentecost. I think that the Lord, in knowing what we were going to need as his church, was the same thing Moses needed and was given to the 70 elders. We need the Holy Spirit, folks. We need it right now. Look at yourself. Be honest with yourself as you listen to this, either live, wherever you are, archived. Can we be honest here? Are you living a Spirit-filled life? Are you living below your privileges, as Oswald Chambers said? You have been called to be special. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That word special, peculiar, you are purchased possession, not peculiar as in dress or speech in the manner that you live. You are a particular treasure to him above all else. We didn't have to do anything to get it. That's the one thing I knew when I knelt at that altar at the Old Christian Heritage. He did it all. Here I am, broken. I've lost my family. I'm not living the life I wanted to live. I'm living in darkness. I'm cohabitating with the demonic. I've realized I've made a bad deal. He died on a cross, shed every drop of blood. Let them beat him and whip him and tear him apart. Pull the beard out of his face, a crown of thorns into his head like a nail into his skull. And all I had to do was kneel at an altar. And all these years, 30 years later, 30 years and a day, I've never forgotten that moment. I've never forgotten him on the cross. I've never forgotten that he's alive, and that because of him I have access to the throne room, that he has given me a new and a greater covenant because he paid for it with his blood. But I also know that to do what we're called to do, we have to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to walk with him uprightly. We have to do our best to be holy. We have to be set apart, set aside, not religious, not ritualistic. We need him to clear out our hearts, clear out our minds, change the way we look at things, change the way we feel about other people, even change the way we feel about ourselves. We have to be willing to let go of that which has no eternal value. But I believe that we are living in the time that Joel prophesied about in the second chapter of Joel, which was about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where he said, Joel 2:28, shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Joel describes spiritual blessings that Abba Father, our Father God, Daddy, would bestow upon his people. And what was it? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Sons and daughters, didn't matter gender, age, or social class. Didn't matter how much money. I believe when it says it shall come to pass afterward, that afterward was after Calvary, after the appearance of Messiah, the death and resurrection. And that's why Peter talks about it on Pentecost. That's why he points back to it to show what's going on. Why do all these people, these men and the women, the 120 in the upper room, why are they coming out prophesying, speaking, singing, speaking in other tongues, ecstatic utterances? Men of Judea and all dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. For though these are not drunk as you suppose, it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. Could that happen with the temporary, momentary presence of the Holy Spirit, like I shared with you with Moses and the 70 elders? No. It only works with an abiding spirit. It only works if the fire perpetuates itself, if it never goes out. We are living in that time. So why are we so ineffective? Why are we so powerless? Why do we sit in bondage? Why do we sit in chains? Why do we live the lives that we're living? Because we've been lied to. We've been defrauded. We've been deceived. I want those greater works. I want to see people set free. I want to see people delivered and healed. I want to see the dead raised. This spirit whom we have, the world can't receive it. It doesn't see it, doesn't know him, doesn't understand it, but it dwells with you and it is in you. That was the promise of John 14:17. Lives in you constantly. It's an indwelling. It's the foundational focus of who we are in him. Greater work shall you do if I am going to the Father. We'll do the same works and even greater works, John 14:12. Where is it? Why do I have such a hard time finding people that want to pray? Why do I have such a hard time finding people that want to do anything about helping other people, getting a little bit dirty? Because we're living below our privileges, and we're not living up to what he thought about us. Charles Spurgeon said, the great king, immortal, invisible, the divine person called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, it is he that quickens the soul, or else it would lie dead forever. It is he that makes it tender, or else it would never feel. It is he that imparts efficacy to the word preached, or else it would never reach further than the ear. It is he who breaks the heart, and it is he who makes it whole. Shelley and I were talking about it today. He said, you know, the Holy Spirit rested upon him and worked through him, and now it's working through us. We are his body. How does that make you feel? If I had you in front of me, I could get a reaction. Are you bored? Are you falling asleep? Where are you in the midst of all this? Yeah, I don't get paid to do this. Actually, I pay to do it. It costs me money to do this. I'm not doing it for fame, not doing it for fortune, not doing it for adulation or profit. I'm doing it so that you can live life to the fullest and to the full privileges given to you by Messiah. Acts 10:38 said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I weep when I see the news. I weep when I read the stories. I get angry when you see these shows and you see the amount of murder and evil and how the enemy is running amok and the spirits from the days of Noah are still doing what they did then. I sit on the end of, my wife will tell you, I sit on the end of my chair agitated because I want to run. I want to be like David running towards Goliath. But I also realize that we've reached a time where the world has so rejected him and his offer for help, like in the days of Noah. He's letting them have what they want. That doesn't mean I enjoy watching it. I firmly believe Matthew 28:18, when the Lord said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." Folks, if we go do something together, if we have an event somewhere, like I did in Connecticut a while back, and the hotel has a pool, we will do baptisms. I did 3 that day. Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power, the ability, the efficiency, and the might of the throne room. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, dunamis, explosive power that's capable of reproducing itself. Turn it on. Open your heart. Raise your hands. Turn your eyes towards heaven. Say, Lord, why am I unplugged? Why am I not being like you? Where are the greater things that you said? I can't even do things in my own life. Why don't I believe that I can do greater works? You've gone to the Father. You gave us the Spirit. I see some people do. Why don't I?" Well, part of the answer is if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It is somewhat conditional, but we don't want to do that. We don't. And I say we, I'll include myself in there. There are moments where I want to throw a spiritual tantrum, throw myself on the floor and kick and scream, which at my age is very difficult to get back up. What I'm about to say to you is coming right now through the Lord from the throne room. I don't ever do this on the porch. I may not make it through it. I have loved you with an undying love. I have loved you as a father like no one else has ever loved you or ever will. All I ask from you is for your heart, for all that you have. I'll walk with you. I'll hold your hand. I'll hold you up. I'll even carry you. But you've got to give me all that is you. You've got to give me your heart. I am not a God of halfway relationships. I am not a father who wants to share you. I don't have co-parenting rights. I am your one and only Father. But right now, you've got to give me your heart, and you've got to let go of the past, let go of the hurts, let go of the pain, let go of all the things that kept the children of Israel bound. Father, help your children right now, Lord. I don't know who you were speaking to there. Maybe it was one, maybe it was 20. I don't know. I just wish they felt your love in their heart. I just wish they understood in all of this how much you loved Moses, how much you loved David, how much you loved all the people that you shared yourself with. Humble men, men who didn't want adulation, didn't want all the things that men and women today seek to and desire to have. Holy Spirit, we need your help. We need that fire. We need that passion. We need that understanding. We need the freedom. Who are the people out there, Lord, that are like Eldad and Medad? They're outside the camp. They didn't even show up. They've got issues. They don't want to be a part of what Moses and the elders are doing. And you touched them anyway. Stop blaming religion. Stop blaming the churches. Stop blaming the pastors who have hurt you and done all the things. They were frauds. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. They were hirelings. Stop using them as an excuse to not live the life that you're supposed to live. With an abiding spirit, walking in the power, walking in the freedom, setting the captives free, not looking for someone else to lead that person to the Lord, but to look into the eyes of the person that you love. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your betrothed, maybe it's a son or a daughter or family member, maybe it's a person at work, and asking them, do you know how much the Lord loves you? Has anybody ever told you? Those people in the upper room, I don't know how they smelled. I don't know if they ate. I don't know what they did. They were up there, and the Spirit hid them, and the first thing they wanted to do was go tell other people about it. And they began to speak in other languages. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them the ability. They began to sing. They began to dance. They began to do the things that the elders did in that camp. They were infused. They were soaked into. They were filled up. And they kept pouring it out, and they kept laying hands on other people, and they kept leading people to the Lord. And the fire kept falling, and the fire kept falling, and the fire kept burning. Because without the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, there is no church. There's no one doing this job. There are no signs and wonders. There's no buddy to instruct or to teach or to restore or to inspire. The Holy Spirit, if you don't have it, how can you glorify the Lord? How can you be convicted of sin? How can anybody else be convicted of sin? The only thing that makes sense for me is an abiding spirit. Hebrews 13:20-21. I'm going to leave you with this. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Yeshua from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stop. Let's stop the religion. Let's stop the ritualistic behavior. Let's stop the dance and the dog and pony show. Let's stop thinking that what we do is pleasing to him and it's doing anything to the world. We need to get with the program. We need to get with the program of the gospel. And if you can't go out there and if you can't get out, maybe you're just paralyzed with fear about speaking to people. I'm not asking you to do that, but you can pray. You can hit your knees. You can do whatever it takes to pray it through. He went to the Father. Greater works shall we do. He has given us the authority to shake the world, to change the world, to set the captives free. The God of this world and all the fallen and all their demonic offspring, they hate him. They hate that. And they hate us too. So what? So what? They're going to do it anyway. What does it matter? The Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells inside of you. It has restored life to your mortal, perishable bodies. His Spirit dwells in you. And for 30 years, I have resisted the fallen. I've stood against the sinful world. I've desired to be effective in the gospel because I want to see him face to face. And I don't want to see anybody perish. I don't want to see anybody perish. I don't want to see the enemy do what he does, destroy families, break up marriages, steal the children. Let me just play something here.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you
Will you make him Lord of your life today? Maybe you've been listening. Maybe somehow you stumbled on this. Maybe you've been here for a while, but you've never made him Lord of your life. If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, if you will make him Lord and Savior of your life, you will be saved and you will be born again. Just tell him you believe. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And maybe you're somebody who's wandered away. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've had the ooey-gooey religious feeling, but your life doesn't show it. It's time to come home. It's time to rededicate your life to him. Father, let your spirit fall upon anyone who has responded to what I just said. Fill them permanently. And make them yours. In Yeshua's name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.
Oh.